Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I have an overarching question here. You've written books, of course, about really key classic sightings. Leveland, Texas. Washington, D.C. Sicaro, Mexico. Sightings in the 50s and the 60s. Where are the major sightings of the 21st century?
Well, first of all, let me point out that I think of those books as my city's books. They all have a city title, and that includes the Roswell books. Actually, Carl Flock and I discussed this many years ago, and we just don't have the same kind of robust sightings that we had in the beginning of the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and into the 70s. And I always wondered if it wasn't like what we would do. Some kind of archaeological site has been discovered, or some kind of new animal has been discovered, and all the scientists rush out and they spend months and months and years investigating, and then they run back to the university and they're publishing their books about their findings. And I'm wondering if what we had was a bunch of college professors and their students coming to Earth to gather our flora and our fauna and check out our civilization and how we're maturing. And now they've all gone home to write their dissertations type thing. We do have some good sightings. The Chicago O'Hare sighting is very interesting. The Stevensville sighting is very interesting. But we just don't have the same kind of robust sightings. And the other thing I wonder about is if we haven't become more sophisticated, meaning that things that would have sparked a UFO sighting in the 50s and 60s, we now understand what it is. A bolide, for example, very bright meteor that's very uncommon, makes a noise. You can hear it flying overhead. And depending on how it breaks up, it may look like objects in a formation type thing. And people understand what that is now, as opposed to at the time they wouldn't have understood that. So I think that might play into it. And I think part of it is where the news media goes. We didn't have good sightings, but we do have the Tic Tac now, which has multiple chains of evidence. We have the video, we have the radar, we have the visual sightings. So we've got a very good sighting there that may be inexplicable based on, again, what I heard today, Commander Fravor talking about. So I look at all of that sort of thing. So I think that's part of it, and it may be that I think the waves of the past were sparked by a good sighting, and then everybody realized where to report their sightings, so they were coming out of the woodwork to talk about the stuff, and we ended up with the waves of sightings. And today, it's not so much the stuff gets reported on social media too much, and so it's kind of diminished the importance of some of the sightings.
Also, you don't have all the major daily newspapers anymore. A lot of them are online. Yeah. Others just go out of business. So that's one thing, too. And you don't have everybody watching the same three networks. You know, the CBS News, Walter Cronkite, Today, everything is fragmented. So very rarely does a single story get the presentation it got before. I mean, sometimes they do. But even then, it's like short attention span. I have this theory that if tomorrow President Biden, whatever president, but we'll say the guy that's up there now, says, you know what, we have evidence here that we are experiencing visits from an off-world source of some kind. We're investigating it, but maybe there's no evidence of them being harmful. That would make a play for 2 or 3 days. But half the people in the country would say, this guy isn't even president. At the end of the day, the story would disappear.
Well, look what happened today. The big story on everywhere was Hunter Biden pleading not guilty. I guess the plea deal collapsed. But that was the big story on all the news media today. The hearing today is being replayed at 7 p.m. tonight. I lucked out and found it on the CBS News feed, so I was able to watch it today. But there's an awful lot of other stuff going on, and people's attention span is not all that great. But I think that's part of the problem as well. But I don't know of I was just thinking the Hicks and Parker abduction in Pascagoula, Mississippi, 1973. I was not very impressed with that sighting until I talked to Calvin Parker a couple of years ago, and they were coming out with all these people who had seen the UFO. So we have an abduction, but we also have people who saw it. And my question was, were these people interviewed back in 1973, or these people who just come out? Some of them just come out. But there's a document, an actual letter from Keesler Air Force Base, signed by with a list of a whole bunch of Air Force officers, including the top guys at Keesler Air Force Base. And in the letter, they talk about four additional witnesses. So it's not just Hicks and Parker seeing the thing. It's now we learn that there's additional witnesses. And they were identified within hours of the sighting. And so we just don't have that kind of thing going on. And I think you're right. It's partially because we don't have the robust newspapers that we had before, which could get some of this stuff going. I don't know how many of the youngsters read newspapers anymore. I know our local newspaper is really not very good, and a lot of the other newspapers have a political agenda they get tied up with, so they kind of lose some of their readership because of that. So, I mean, it's a whole bunch of things that I think are causing trouble.
Also, you have some newspaper chains that own lots of papers like Gannett. So you've got USA Today, and you have other papers like the Arizona Republic, but they share content. Content is shared amongst all the papers. So you have very little local news. News staffs are cut to the bone. So if something happens, quite often there will be no coverage.
Because they just don't have the staff to do it. And then the other problem I've always seen in the UFO stories is they don't have the time to look at the story in depth. And that's a real problem. I mean, I can sit here and I watch the congressional hearing, and I can see all the mistakes made, like the guy talking about billions of light years. But I know the field intimately, and so I can see where the questions go awry. But again, this is a hearing with a whistleblower and two firsthand witnesses. And yet part of the political agenda was to talk about black budgets and the way the money is being manipulated and that sort of thing. That's really not the point of that hearing. It was to talk to these guys about what they saw and what they knew, as opposed to, well, how are they financing these black budgets? And how is this the classified information held and that sort of thing? That's really not what we needed to know. We needed to know more about especially what Grush had seen and who his sources were, as opposed to this other stuff.
Although it may be true that black budgets are being used to finance secret UFO investigations, that's the old theory. Reverse engineer spaceships, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But it does. But the tone of the questions in some of the questions about the budgeting was clear that the agenda was outrage at black projects, as opposed to learning about UFOs or flying saucers, as you prefer. And I do too, by the way.
Yes, I still prefer to use flying saucers, but what the heck, we have to do that. But even then, the mainstream media that covered the hearings, sometimes they referred to them as UAPs, sometimes they use UFOs.
Well,
so
Burchett,
it hasn't all gone away.
Burchett, who was the one of the guys that kind of got this going, he wasn't the chairman of the committee, but he said in one of the interviews that I saw that he preferred the term UFO. But UFO means unidentified flying object, and flying saucer means an alien spacecraft. So, you know, we can define our terms that way. Unidentified aerial phenomena doesn't mean much of anything at all.
I think it was a politically correct way to get away from the occasional stench of UFOs, since so many unpleasant things have happened in research, not just getting things done, but things that interrupted that process with crazy hoaxers. We got more to come with Kevin, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back with Kevin D. Randall, and he's got much more to say.
I was going to say, I thought the term UAP was to separate it from UFOs, not because what you were saying, but because it was a way of getting rid of the history. So we're talking about something new, a UAP. We don't have to worry about the history of UFOs.
Part of the problem with coverage, though, is that journalists today don't take the time to look at the newspaper morgues to understand the history behind the story. Even current stuff, you learn what's happening, but you never see the things that happened 6 months ago that influenced it.
And then I think that's part of the point. Why change it to UAP? Well, because we've now broken that link to UFOs. And I noticed an awful lot of people working very hard to use the term UAP to sound like they're on the inside and they know what's going on. But they have no idea about the history.
Didn't they do that with UFOs originally, which came from, what, Captain Ruppelt? They were talking about flying saucers, and then they came up with UFO.
I think Ruppelt's idea was not necessarily to use flying saucers, a derogatory term, and he mentions that in his book, where he says, you know, somebody sees something, he says, well, you're not talking about them flying saucers, are you? But he thought of the UFO, unidentified flying objects, as a more scientific term. And it really didn't separate from the history of the flying saucers and the flying discs, the way UAP is looking to separate UFOs from what's going on today.
And there's still that conceit about the whole subject, either UFOs, UAP, whatever you want to call them. I was watching the news the other night, and they had a national news teaser where the person starts it out by saying, get your tinfoil hats on, folks. Congress is going to be looking at UFO or UAP reports. And it's just like, okay, that's not news, that's commentary.
Well, but you look at the news media, and they do an awful lot of commentary today in the guise of news reporting. There's always some kind of editorial comment inserted, regardless of what the story is. I mean, I was reading supposedly a news story about part of the Biden scandals going on. In the text of the story, they mentioned something, and then parenthetically they said, which has been debunked. And I'm thinking, no, it really hasn't been debunked. And you really didn't need to make that comment here. You should be talking about what is being done as opposed to what you believe it might be. You need to stick with the facts. And if you want to make the editorial comment, that's what the editorial page is for. You don't do it in the news. And what you're saying about the tinfoil hats, and I've seen the same thing where they talking about the Roswell, and they insert, but we know it's Project Mogul. No, we don't know that. If you've paid any attention, you'd know that the Project Mogul explanation simply does not work, because the flight they claim was the responsible for the wreckage at Roswell was canceled. It says so right in the documentation, flight canceled. And so you keep getting these editorial comments or a nasty reference to the Roswell case in the context of the news story. You can leave those comments out and just talk about the story.
But at least know the history. That's the important thing.
Yes.
Well, how many news stories, though, covering today's hearing are going to start out playing X-Files music?
A good point. And we've seen that repeatedly as well. And I think it's a problem with the training of the journalists, because they're looking for something that's more visual and more auditory than just reporting the story. We've got to have good visuals. You know, the old news adage: if it bleeds, it leads. Well, you know, who cares? What's the real story here? And too often we don't get the real story. We get the reporter's opinion or the anchor's opinion as opposed to the facts of the story.
Well, most of the reporters and most of the producers who write the intros for the anchors have no knowledge of these subjects. It's like I said, I mean, they're used to covering politics or what car crashes happened today, things like that, things like UFOs. That's outside of their knowledge base, so they're just going to go with what they've seen everybody else doing over the years.
Well, I remember a story not that long ago where they were talking about an outbreak of cholera and in Africa, I think it was, and the news anchor called it cholera.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, that shouldn't have happened.
I've seen that
multiple times where they don't even know what I would consider basic knowledge.
Well, we've got one more question here from our base, and this is the last one from a signed Flosser. And this is going back to the Washington Nationals book. And he asked, Kevin, what do you make of the unnamed scientist who warned Edward Rupelt of severely increased UFO activity in the next few days over a major East Coast city, probably Washington, D.C., just a few days before the start of the Washington sightings?
I don't know what to make of that, because the other side of that coin that I do know is that Rupelt talked about a solution for the Washington Nationals, but he didn't put it in his book because it would identify the scientist who had made the suggestion. And when after Rupelt died, a number of different UFO organizations had managed to purchase Rupelt's files, and they found the answer that Rupelt wouldn't put in the book, and was fireflies. And it may relate to something he had noticed in the environment that would suggest fireflies that would be seen all over, and that would lead to some kind of UFO sighting. I don't know. It's an interesting prediction, and I don't know of any time that anybody else has done that same kind of prediction. So it may have been more of a coincidence than anything else.
Interesting. Fireflies. Now, I don't think I've heard that one before as an explanation for UFOs.
That was in Rupelt's notes for his book. And I was sworn to secrecy on that because the people who owned the Rupelt files at the time wanted to do their own analysis of the Rupelt's book and everything, and they didn't want me revealing the firefly explanation that Rupelt thought was legitimate. But that was 25 years ago, and so that ship has sailed long ago.
So in your book, I noticed that you've got a chapter. Let me go up to the top of it here and get to, oh yeah, chapter 12, Blue Book and the Aliens. And you write quite a bit about the Flatwoods Monster. Now, that's a bit of UFO history that a lot of people probably have no knowledge on.
And, well, it's September of 1952, so it fits into that right. time frame, because this is the flap from of the summer of 1952. Mm-hmm. And it's multiple witness. There was some indications of physical evidence left behind.
We'll continue with Flatwoods in our next segment. We'll have more with Kevin, Gene, and Tim. Flatwoods Monster, indeed. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
USA News Update. Some Americans finally in for some cooler weather.
Cooler temperatures are moving in, with heat advisories expiring from New Jersey to Missouri. And in the Southwest, Phoenix is finally getting a break. Phoenix has been 110 degrees or hotter for more than four straight weeks. I'm Jeremy Scott.
A Ford recall to tell you about. Here's USA's Jerry Barmash.
Ford announced it's recalling nearly 900,000 F-150 trucks in the U.S. due to a wiring issue.
There's a long wait to get your passport renewed. correspondent Scott Carr with details.
The State Department says it's been receiving an unprecedented 430,000 passport applications every week, leaving staff overwhelmed and many travelers panicking. The turnaround time to get a passport in the mail now averages about 13 weeks. Last year, the U.S. issued over 23 million passports as Americans started traveling again.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Kevin Randall talking about 1952 and about a sighting I first read about in a book by Gray Barker, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, which occurred in Flatwoods, West Virginia. Kevin?
What's interesting about this is there were a number of witnesses. There was an alien creature scene. There was a number of people who went up a hill. They thought they'd seen something land, something crash on the hillside, and they walked up the hill. They were not overcome, but they encountered a foul odor and saw a creature of some kind that they described. They fled back down the hill. They alerted the local authorities, and others reported the UFO. A couple of days later, another guy, his wife and young child, infant really, had their car stalled close to the area and reported a similar type creature and a similar type stench, which frightened them badly. So it's a combination of sightings that took place in September of 1952.
Yeah, that was a fascinating case, and Gray Barker, I think, made that was the start of his early career reporting on that.
I think it's overlooked partially because in the early UFO realm, it was okay to see the craft in the sky. It was sort of okay to see the landed craft, but if you saw the creatures from inside, if you saw the beings who were flying the thing, then you were pretty much written off as a complete nutcase. In the Project Blue Book files, almost every report that has alien beings in it, the Air Force wrote it off as a psychological problem, including an Air Force officer who reported a landing with a and seeing the beings. They did a great job of trying to smear his reputation. The Socorro case, Lonnie Zamora seeing the landed thing in Socorro and the two beings outside, is one of the few cases in which the Air Force didn't label it as a psychological problem.
We've got some other questions here from listener George Wingfield. And George is asking, he starts out by saying that on June 18th, 2023, you wrote in your blog site, my thesis is that the San Antonio crash story is a hoax. No aliens at a non-existent crash site. There was no crash landing of a UFO military aircraft because the story was a hoax. Now, George says, Kevin, do you stick with your assertion that this is that what George says is plain wrong? George says that there was a crash of an unknown vehicle, aero vehicle, at the Trinity site in August 1945. And that it was inside this aircraft that Jose Abdilla and Remy Baca, I'm not sure if I pronounced that last name right, saw three beings dressed in coveralls, uniforms, da-da-da. So he's basically, if you're, you know, still, you know, if that's your story, you're sticking with it.
Absolutely. And I can't remember the guy's name. Oh, Douglas Smith. I think it's Douglas Smith. Douglas Dean Smith. There's a website devoted to this case that just rips it to shreds. Tom Carey met with Remy Baca a number of years ago, recorded the interview. So we have the tape. We listen to what he says. What he said on the tape is completely different than what he says today, which is a good indication of a hoax. The police officer, the state trooper, who supposedly was called in 1945. In 1945, he was not a state trooper. He was, in fact, in Europe as a soldier. There's all kinds of problems with it. The cavalier method treatment of this by the military, supposedly they have this object that's crashed near the Trinity site. World War II is still going on. War in Europe's over, but we still have to worry about the Japanese. And the Japanese have been launching balloon bombs, some of which made it to the United States and caused trouble, and six people were killed by a Japanese balloon bomb. So the war's still going on. They're confronted with this craft that's unknown to them. They bring in a truck. They clean up the site. Then they leave it unguarded and they go to lunch. This makes absolutely no sense to me. Military wouldn't have done that. They would have, if they were confronted with an unknown craft, they would have guarded it because they would worry about it being some kind of Japanese secret weapon at the time. The original date for the crash, according to Remy Baca, was, I think, 1947. But if you want to see the whole case picked apart, I think I linked to it in my blog. So you can take a look at the blog because there's an update and there's links to these stories that this researcher, I think it's Douglas Smith. I can't remember. I know it's Douglas Dean. I think it's Douglas Dean Smith. Anyway.
Isn't it Johnson?
Johnson, yes, Johnson. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Before you go on, I want to mention to our listeners that questions that Tim is asking from George Wingfield come in a private conversation to me, so you won't see him posted, although I think he'll post them later. The second thing is here, we have run some stuff about Trinity in our forums, and we mentioned the Johnson piece. Go ahead, yes. Please.
Well, the Johnson website, because he looks at all aspects of this, and he utterly destroys it. And then we learned that Tom Carey had this tape, and I told Johnson about it, and I told Tom Johnson would be contacting him, and Tom had told me, well, I've got all these unmarked tapes, I can't find it, and apparently he spent an hour and found it and sent it to Johnson, so you can listen to Tom's interview with Remy Baca and how it differs so much from what came out later in the book Trinity. But yes, it's an obvious hoax. There's just absolutely nothing to corroborate it at all. I mean, they're talking about, well, the military couldn't pick up all the pieces, so they buried them. Okay. Well, but then there was a big flood in the area, and that buried the debris under 20 feet of dirt, so you can't get to it. Some of the stuff was like tinsel, I guess, because they were taking it home when they were hanging it on their Christmas trees. But unfortunately, all of that has disappeared since then. I mean, the story is just preposterous on its surface. And so, yes, I still subscribe to the idea that the Trinity crash is a hoax.
The thing that worries me about that whole thing, and I've seen the book, I haven't read all of it, is that someone like Jacques Vallée gets involved. I mean, Paula Harris believes a lot of stuff. And so if she gets involved in something that's of questionable nature, it makes sense to me. We caught her once saying that the Billy Meier case was the real deal. And we beat up on her on the Paracast many years ago when she came up with that. As she tried to get away from it. So I understand, again, about her. Vallée, I do not understand to this day.
Boy, I've talked to a number of people. I've talked to Vallée. In fact, when the Kerry tape came out, I sent Jacques Vallée a note and said, what do you think about this latest information? And he wrote me back a nice note and says, dear Kevin, if I may be so bold, you know, calling me by my first name. And the excuse he gave me was that the fact that Baca had asked about making money on his crash was irrelevant. And basically, I would agree with that. It's basically irrelevant. And so I wrote back to him and I said, no, I was more worried about the tape that Tom Carey had provided of what he said before. And we have these issues with it, including the state trooper who was serving in Europe at the time. He supposedly was in New Mexico as a state trooper. Never heard a word back. I don't know how he got involved in this case, why he champions this case. I think he realizes at this point, and this is my opinion, of course, I think he realizes at this case that it's at this point that the case is probably not valid.
We're going to go into more of this and many other things with Kevin D. Randall. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, just to kind of close out Trinity, I wrote to Valet and Paula Harris to get a response. And basically, Harris complained about the low level of content in the responses. And then said they're not going to say anything more about it, period. And when I asked for a review copy of the book before I finally got one, she said, well, you can go to Amazon, which I thought was just plain rude. I have not heard from Valet. And as you might have said, maybe he believed for whatever reason there was something to it, and then maybe now he doesn't, and now he's kind of stuck in the middle of it.
Well, I think the evidence that it's a hoax is overwhelming. You've got basically two witnesses, and that's it. I think they're both dead now, which is not a relevant point. I mean, Roswell witnesses are all dead as well. But there were only two witnesses involved at all that were interviewed, and the story just doesn't make any common sense. And anybody who would think about it would realize that. There's so many contradictions. And then in the book, he talks about the Aurora, Texas crash. And I'm thinking, why? It has nothing to do with Trinity, and I think the Aurora, Texas crash is a hoax as well. And the reason I say that is Aurora, Texas is in Wise County, and Wise County Historical Society told me when I investigated in 1972, the two books had been written about the history of Wise County within 10 years of the alleged crash. Neither one mentioned it. Well, if there had been a crash of some kind of strange object in Aurora, Texas in 1897, surely one of those books would have mentioned it. But they don't. And that's kind of a red flag for me. And now we have this story from Trinity that kind of fits in the same mold. We just have nothing to verify it whatsoever other than what the two guys were talking about. And their story has shifted immensely over the years and changed. And that's, again, suggestive of a hoax.
Not to attack Paula Harris again, but she seems like the kind of person, if she'll accept Billy Meyer, she will accept Aurora, Texas. Of course, I remember Aurora, Texas when the late Hayden Hughes, a UFO researcher, made a big fuss about that case and got in the newspapers and everything, and it turned out to be a big bust. Do you recall that?
I do, and the interesting thing is I was there a year before Hayden Hughes. I was there in the summer of 1972. I was there. I took pictures in the graveyard. I got pictures of Aurora, Texas, and things like that. Talked to a witness who had these gnarled hands. from arthritis when I talked to him. He was in his 70s at the time. He was a youngster in 1897. And he told me, no, it never happened. Saw him later on one of the documentaries, and he was talking about the crash. He was there, and he saw the whole thing. I think that's kind of the problem. I've been around the UFO field for so long. I know some of these things that are most people don't want to hear about, things like the Aurora, Texas crash. The whole 1897 airship story, for the most part, most of those are hoaxes and jokes and misidentifications. So.
Well, it's also true that sometimes newspapers would publish fake stories, the real fake news, fake stories just to gain circulation.
Oh, absolutely. And the airship was a good one for doing that. A lot of papers, there was a story in, I think it's the Burlington, Iowa paper, could be Dubuque, I'm not sure which one, 1897, talked about how telegraphers would see, one guy would say, well, the airship's over here and it's flying toward so-and-so place. And the next, in that town, the guy would say, yeah, it just appeared over town here. And they were kept the story going that way. There was a wonderful story in the, and this just kind of annoys me. The Cedar Rapids Gazette carried a story of the ship crash landing in Waterloo, Iowa. And it was clear, on the first day, it was clear they didn't know what was going on and they wanted more information. And I got it out of the newspaper and I went home, and then I thought, you know, I should have looked for the next day. And then the next day it came out, it was a hoax. But I had an illustration from the Gazette that I could use. Well, when I did a book about alien mysteries, somebody found a picture of that airship from Waterloo. It's the actual photograph of it. And, of course, it was all admitted to be a hoax, but they had created this airship on the fairgrounds to, I guess, excite people. I was stunned that somebody had found a photograph, and I'd never thought to check with the Waterloo Courier to see if there was a photograph in their archives of this airship in 1897, but there was.
Do you think any of the cases from 1897 were genuine?
I think there's a couple that may have been, but I think the vast majority of them are our invention. And it's given the quality of the airship and the stories. I mean, some of them, like there was a story out of Texas where the airship landed and the people talked to the crew, and they were on their way to bomb the Spanish in Cuba. Well, this is just before the war, the Spanish-American War in 1898. And so you've got some of that, and there's other stories that are clearly hoaxes and admitted hoaxes and things like that. There's a sighting in Omaha, Nebraska, and they were talking about the headlight being really bright and hovering over in the western sky. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, I bet that was Venus. There were misidentifications too, but I just don't know of any cases that are really, really intriguing from the 1897 era.
You know, when you talk about that era, I think of a TV show from Canada called Murdoch Mysteries, which is in its 16th season now, and they call it steampunk because it has sci-fi elements, but still from the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Plus, he keeps meeting famous people like H.G. Wells, and they talk about a time machine. It's a wacky series. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it very highly if you like that kind of thing. It's basically a police procedural about police department in Toronto, but as I said, from the last decade of the 19th century and the first decade of the 20th century, and it seems it'll go on forever.
And what's the name of it?
Murdoch Mysteries.
Murdoch Mysteries. And what streaming service is it on?
It's on Acorn. Acorn is a streaming service that covers British shows. A lot of British shows, shows from New Zealand, shows from Australia.
Do they have commercials?
Acorn, no. It's like $5, $6 a month, commercial free.
No, see, if it's coming from Great Britain and New Zealand and Australia, I'd sign on just to see the commercials, see how their commercials work compared to ours. I'll look it up.
Of course, the big thing here is that the UFO story never ends. And because of that, we're going to have Kevin Randall back to answer the remaining questions from George Wingfield, because he wrote quite a few questions. Like I said, each question can consume a full episode. Kevin Randall, tell us about the stuff you're working on, and if we're really, really, really curious about how to find you, as I am always, where do we find you?
Well, of course, the books are available on Amazon.com under Kevin Randall. The book coming out in September is called 1973, and it's about the UFO world in 1973, but it was kind of inspired by the Pascagoula abduction. I talked to Charles Hickson a number of years ago, talked to Calvin Parker in recent months, and got a lot of insight from him that was interesting. But it also shows that 1973 had a lot more going on ufologically than you would think based on the way the reporting has gone. So that book will be out, I think, in September. I'm updating the Roswell Encyclopedia for next year because there's so much information, new information, and there's stuff to take out. Like, there's a long section on Gerald Anderson, for example. Well, it can be reduced now to a couple of paragraphs explaining who Gerald Anderson was and why we reject his testimony. And so anyway, the books are all available at Amazon.com, available on your bookstore. So take a look. Just Kevin Randall, Amazon. And oh, the blog is www.kevinrandall.blogspot.com, and there's more information there.
You can find us on Threads, on Twitter, and on Facebook. If you look for the Paracast, we are on all those things. We're not on TikTok. Maybe some year. You can get branded merchandise at theparacast.shop or theparacast.store. You can also get this show in a premium version without the network ads, plus the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where Kevin will be back. If you check out theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus, if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on Lifetime and 5-year subscriptions, theparacast.plus. Kevin Randall, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Paracast.
I've enjoyed every minute of it and would be delighted to come back.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.